Well, how many of you check to see what the weather forecast is going to be just about every day? Anybody do that? It's kind of a common occurrence, isn't it, in our day? And I know this week I was looking at the forecast, seeing what today would be, and it did say PM showers. So, you know, those weathermen, they're always not quite right. But we tend to be concerned about the weather quite a bit. I know Helen and I watch the 10 o'clock news most nights. And every night, never fails, there is a weatherman or a weatherwoman. And they will tell you what the day has been like, the weather for that day, and then they will proceed to tell you what they think the weather may be in a few days from then. If you've got computers, how many of you got computers, you get on your homepage, and there's a little block on the side, says little weather there. You can click on, get the weather for the day, next day, even a week from now, you can find out what the weather is going to be like. Many of us are really fascinated by the weather. Maybe some of you out there are even weather junkies. Anybody a weather junkie where your favorite channel is the Weather Channel? Is that you're consumed by the weather? And you're just thrilled to know what the weather's gonna be in North Dakota today. You're never gonna go there, you've never been there, but it just excites you so much to know what it's gonna be like out there. That's a weather junkie right there. But as people, we talk a lot about the weather, don't we? Every day it seems like we're talking about sun, rain, whatever it's gonna be. Are we gonna have a service night? Yeah, we talk about it a lot. Today, as we enjoy the outdoors, we're all enjoying the outdoors, aren't we? We're getting a little sprinkle maybe here or there. But it reminds us that God is in control of all things, right? Even the weather today, he's in charge. You could say it this way, God's voice is heard through his creation. And today we're going to talk about that topic of God's voice. If you have your Bibles, open to Psalm chapter 19. We're just going to begin looking at a few verses from there, Psalm 19. We're going to look at 1 through 3. And the first way that God speaks to every human being is through his creation. This passage tells us that God's voice is manifested through his creation. Again, Psalm 19, 1 through 3 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." When you hear that word heaven, what do you think of? What are some of the things you think of when you hear heaven? Anybody?
Clouds.
Clouds? Peace. Peace? What else? Heaven?
Jesus.
Freedom. Streets of gold, maybe we think of streets of gold, perfect joy, perfect peace. Maybe we think of angels floating around, flying around, pearly gates. We think of that, and that is certainly true when we think of heaven. But from a Jewish mindset, the word heaven had a lot of different meanings. In fact, the word is always plural in the original language, so it was always heavens. It should always be read heavens. Our English translation sometimes has heaven in the singular, but it was always plural, heavens. The first way that they viewed the heavens was this. When you look out today and you look up in the sky, you don't see much, do you? You see a lot of clouds, a lot of gray. But if it was a sunny day, you may see the blue sky and the sunshine, maybe a few white clouds rolling by. That would be declared or described as the heavens. That was one way that they said those are the heavens. Then there was the area beyond that you can't see. If you fly on a plane and you're up 10,000 feet, whatever it is in the air, that also is described as heavens. And then there is that place where God dwells, where most of us would call heaven. In the Old Testament, we read about Elijah. Remember how he was caught up to heaven in a whirlwind, that place where God dwells. The Apostle Paul talks about heaven in this way. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says, "I know a man who in Christ," he's referring to himself, "who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows." Paul went on to refer to that place as paradise. And we remember when Jesus talked to the thief on the cross, what did he say? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That place where God dwells, we call that heaven as well. And you could say that place, that third heaven that Paul talks about, is the ultimate heaven or the highest heaven that there can be. Let's read Psalm 1. It says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God." In our day, we have a lot of knowledge about the universe. I'm very fortunate to live in this day. There are scientists and astronomers who gain more knowledge each and every day about this universe that we live in. And you know, but even if we didn't know some of the things that we know, even if we didn't know that there are billions of stars, or now they tell us trillions of stars in the universe, even if we didn't know that the sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth right now, and even if we didn't know that right now, as we sit here on planet Earth, we're traveling 166,000 miles an hour. We're spinning around on a tilted axis on this ball in the middle of nowhere, and somehow we stick to this planet Earth. Even if we didn't know all that, we would still have to say amen to what David says in Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God, even if we didn't have that knowledge. The prophet Isaiah says it this way. He says, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Who created all these? The answer is God did, right? God did. God created all these things. And though some may hold to theories of chance and coincidence, there was this random act of clashness, and now we have what we have. When you think about it, that is simply foolish to say such a thing. To say that a random act with no creator or no mind behind it resulted in what we now have today, which is life in all its complexities, all its diversities, the delicate balance that the earth and the universe is in right now, is simply foolish to say that there is no creator. Not only is it foolish because it is illogical, but it is foolish because those who believe such things are shutting out the very voice of God, because the voice of God speaks through creation. It's been said that to believe that this universe just kind of happened by chance would be the same thing as saying this, that there was an explosion in a printing press shop and out came Webster's Dictionary. That would be the kind of same mentality that one would have to hold to believe such a thing. But the Bible says that creation speaks of God, and it's really a universal language. All of us have an innate knowledge of God because of creation. We are all without excuse. Look at verse 3 again of Psalm 19. It says, "There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." There's a couple different ways that can be translated. But the main thing is this. Creation really doesn't have a voice, doesn't have vocal cords, doesn't speak English, doesn't speak German or Polish or Tagalog. If you were in the Philippines, where's Rich? See, if he was in the Philippines, I could pick on Rich today. But it doesn't have a voice in that sense, does it? But it speaks. Creation speaks, doesn't it, of a creator. And though there are thousands of languages all across the world, all of us are without excuse. No matter what language we understand, we can understand this, that because of the creation, there is a God, there is a creator. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Romans 1:20. He says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Again, Paul makes it very clear that we all are without excuse. Paul says that creation reveals two things about God, his eternal power and his divine nature. First of all, his eternal power. For our finite minds, that may be hard to kind of comprehend when we think about an infinite God who has always been and always will be, because all we've ever known is something with a beginning and something with an end. That's how we think. But you know, to think that God is infinite is really makes perfect sense when you begin to think about it. For if something or someone is not eternal, what would there always be? Anybody give me an answer? If something or someone is not eternal, what would there always be? Nothing, right? Nothing. Nothing. You can't get something, right, from nothing. Something had to always exist or always be, because if there was ever a moment in time where there was absolutely nothingness, what would there always be? Absolutely nothing. Right? So the fact that God is eternal makes perfect sense. And so either something or someone is eternal. And some will say, well, I believe that matter is eternal. You believe God is eternal. I'll go my way. You go your way. Have a nice day. I believe matter burped one day, and here we are. We have this nice creation, this nice universe. But you know, every honest thinking scientist would tell you this, that matter has not always existed. They can go back to a point in time when matter began. And so we're left with a logical conclusion, which is that God has created all matter. God has created everything we see. And this is what Paul says, that creation reveals the eternal power of God. It shows us that there is a being that has always been, always existed, and he is the one who spoke and created. And here we have it today. Creation reveals the eternal power of God. Number two is that it reveals his divine nature. Because God is eternal, that means what? God is not a created being, right? He didn't have a beginning. That means that he's outside of creation, or he's greater than creation. You could say it this way, he is above all. And we're going to sing that song today. We're going to close with that song, Above All Powers. That what we're saying is that God, you are greater than all things. And so everything is under you. Creation is under you. We as humans are under him. We're subject to him. That means that whatever he says goes. And we need to hear his voice. We need to listen to him. David speaks of the sovereignty of God and his voice through his word in Psalm 19. If we look at verses 7 through 9, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. This here speaks of the word of God. David talks about the laws of God, or the commands of God, the statutes of God. They could all be defined as the word of God. So a second way that we hear God's voice is through his word, through his commands, what he's told us. The prophets of old used to preface their words with this, the Lord says, or if you've got the old King James, it says, thus saith the Lord, and then they would speak. Why did they always preface it with that? Why? Because it wasn't them who thought this up, right? God had revealed it to them through his Spirit, and he'd impressed upon them what he wanted them to say. Sometimes it may have been an audible voice, but they heard from God, and then they spoke what God wanted them to say. And Peter reminds us of this truth in 2 Peter 2:21, the scripture reading that Dennis read this morning, says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This week I had a conversation with someone down at the Salvation Army. She was volunteering and helping out. And she asked me, she said, knowing I was a pastor, and I got all the answers, right? Sure, yeah. No, she said, what is God's voice? What is God saying? What is God's voice saying? And I kind of gave her one of those confused looks, and I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, some prophets of God are saying that God is judging America, and other prophets of God are saying that God is not judging America. Well, which is it? How come they can't agree? And the answer is this. Either one of them is a prophet of God hearing God's voice, or neither of them are a prophet of God hearing God's voice. But this much I know, they both can't be right. They can't have contradictory statements. They can't be saying, I've heard from God, this is the message, and they clash, they don't agree. I can tell you that. And I stressed to her the importance of Scripture. That this the Word of God should be God's voice to us. This should be the most important voice that we're tuned into. And when you think about the prophets, quote prophets of our day, you know, I think if we had lived in Old Testament times, you know what the law was, right? If you were a prophet and you said something and it wasn't true, what was, you'd be stoned to death is what would happen. I think there would be a lot less, quote, prophets today if we lived by that standard. They wouldn't be so quick to say, God told me this or God told me that. They would have this fear, this humble reverence before God before they said, well, God told me. No, we go to the Word of God to hear God's voice, to hear what He has to say to you and I. As we think about verses 7 through 9, it reveals God's righteousness and God's perfection. And when we look at God's perfection and God's holiness, what happens to us? What does that reveal about our own selves? It reveals that we quickly see we're not perfect, are we? And we're not righteous either. We all are tainted by sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, but yet God is perfectly righteous and God is perfect. So what do we do about this situation? As humans, there are usually two things that we try to do. When we understand that God is holy, He's perfect, He's righteous, we're not. The first thing we may try to do is this. We know there's a gap between us and God, and so we try to bridge that gap. We try to do certain things to get back to God, don't we? Maybe we think, you know what, I'm just going to start some new habits. I'm going to start being nicer to Mrs. Fuller. I've been really mean and rude, and I'm just going to start being a nice guy to her. I'm going to go out and open her door and put an umbrella over her head when she goes out to the car. I'm going to be a real nice guy. Maybe I'm going to start coming to church more. Maybe that'll help bridge the gap. Maybe I'll stop swearing or doing a bad habit. I'll stop one of those bad habits. And so we as humans try to bridge that gap, thinking that we can reach God through our actions or our what we think are righteous actions. But what happens? That falls short, doesn't it? Because we always have a taint of sin in us. And that stain that's on our hands can really never be removed by the good things that we try to do. So the second thing that we do as humans, which is the right thing, is that we seek God. We ask God this, God, is there a way that the relationship can be restored with you? Can it be made whole? This relationship that has been broken and severed because of my sin, can it be made right, God? And what does God tell us? He says, yes, there is a way for you to know me, for you to become my friend, to have a relationship with me. And God says, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the bridge. He has paved the way. He is the gap. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:5, he says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so the voice of God speaks not only through creation, through His Word, but also through His Son, Jesus. And we can know God through Jesus, believing in His death and His resurrection. We can have new life in Him. Jesus declared about Himself this, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He says, my sheep hear me. They know my voice. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know Jesus? Have you heard the voice of God? The voice that speaks through creation. The voice that says, I have made all things. The grass that you see today, I've created the seeds. The bushes behind us, all the elements that put this tent together. I've created every molecule that you see. I've created you in my image and my likeness as a human being. You're fashioned in my hand. Do you believe that God speaks to you in that way, that He is the creator? The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. That means if you know God, I know you've made all things. I know that Jesus, you came to die for my sins. But God, I'm not ready yet. I need some time. I need to get some things straightened out. I need to get my life together first. If you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? We don't know what that day may bring. So God says, today if you hear His voice, today is the accepted time. Now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And so today, if you don't know Christ, you can be made right with God by repenting, by turning from your sins and saying, God, I know that you are Almighty God and that you've provided a way of forgiveness and new life through Jesus. And Jesus, I receive you into my life. I believe in you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I receive you and I have new life because of that. And you can know him as the shepherd and you can hear his voice in an incredible way like you've never heard before if you would just bow your knee and your heart to Jesus. And if you do know Christ, you may not be a prophet, but you know what? You can be God's mouthpiece to this world. You can declare the praises of God. You can tell people what God has done in your life, and you can share the good news of Jesus. You can share the gospel, the simple message of Jesus and what he came to do. I pray that you would be intimate with God in that way, that you would share your life story with him if you do know him. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you again for today. And Father, my prayer was that you would you'd hold off the rain just till after the service, but Lord, that was not your will. And Lord, you are God and you are sovereign. And so Father, your will today was to send the rain even in the midst of our service today. And Lord, we pray that all that we have done today, the songs, Father, the prayers, the word has honored you. Lord, you are worthy of our praise and our worship. God, we thank you that you speak to us through your creation. It shows that you are the eternal God, that you are almighty, and that we need to bow to you. And Lord, I thank you for the message of Jesus, that we can know you, we can be born again, we can be forgiven when we put our faith in Jesus. Lord, help us to all know that truth today and be assured of that. Father, continue to be with us as we praise your name and as we worship you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.